Ephesians chapter 4, starting off verse 1. I learned something from my father, and then I would say my spiritual grandfather, Brother Hagin. I don't get into all that, trying to be deep and stuff, but my spiritual grandfather, he would go to the same text. He'd go to his meeting. He ain't preaching nothing different. You know, many times this word of yield so much. It's so much in each part of it. And it'll yield so much if you revisit it. I'm talking about stuff you've been reading for years. You go back and the Holy Ghost will light that thing up and you'll see something totally different that you see. You say, well, I read this before. Well, this is not for leisure. You know what I'm saying? This is not a leisure reading. This is life reading. And so when you read these chapters over and over again, you say, well, I read that, I remember that, I know what this means. Never become familiar with the Word of God. All right, when I say familiar, I'm not saying get to the point where you know it. I want you to know it. I want you to know it well. But don't become familiar to the point to where it becomes normal to you. The moment that you start looking at the word like you know what it means already, I know that scripture already. I know a lot of times I've seen apostles read in church, and I know we put the words on the screen now, but sometimes he wouldn't want the words up there before he read it because he don't want you to get there before him and read and put what you think you know already. Because you might miss out what God's trying to tell you right now. You see what I'm saying? So even in your own personal study time, your own personal time with the Word, never become, and there's a lot of scriptures, you might know a lot of scriptures. I mean, we quote them all day long, but never become so familiar or that kind of familiar with the Word where it becomes just another scripture to you. Or you think you know it. Because just when you think you know, that's when he's going to give you something else and show you something totally different. That wasn't even in there. So it's good to go over. So verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope as you are calling, one Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. See how many alls that is? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended also is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see those three? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I keep on reading, but verse 1 through 16 is so power-packed. I mean, in that part, you find out that there's gifts. You find out you got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God has given different gifts, and you start lining up government in that. And he tells us what we're doing. And one of the things I learned about church, and I've been churching for a long time. I've been churching forever. I've been churching since I knew how to do anything. That's all I know is church. Church, where you been this weekend? Church? I count how many times I've been to church. I don't even know how many times I've been to actual church. You know, I'm talking about church here, church there, church over there, church in that state, church in that state, church for a week, church for a half a week. I've been churching, y'all. I've been church. I don't know nothing but church. And I get to the point where you ask the question, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? We're going to be back here Wednesday night. I'm going to be back here Wednesday night for church. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to be back Sunday for church. And then there's another Wednesday next week. and I'm coming back for church. And I'm coming back the next Sunday for church. So what are we doing? Like, what am I supposed, I love everybody. I like being around people. You know what I'm saying? I like gathering. I like fellowship. You know what I'm saying? Thank the Lord for that. And that's a part of it. But what are we doing? When we talk about church, what are we doing? And there's some imperative things I think we need to pay attention to as ministers. You're here for ministry school, right? Right? So you're a minister. Somewhere you fall in when they say, hey, some apostles and prophets, evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Somewhere you fall in that, right? Somewhere you fall in a category there. Now, one of the things, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Number one, for the perfecting of the saints. Number two, for the work of the ministry. Number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'll say it again. Number one, for the perfecting or the maturity of the saints, the work of the ministry, all right, and the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Not just building up, but until we come unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means a mature man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now when we're here, when we do church, when you minister or when you're receiving, somewhere along the line, one of those things are getting done. There's perfecting, there's maturing of the saints happening, right? There's the work of the ministry happening, or there's edifying of the whole body. All right, so perfecting of the saints. I mean, that's plain and simple. What are we talking about? Huh? What are we talking about? I'm asking you a question because I want to hear from you too. What are we talking about? We're talking about perfecting the saints. It sounds great. You know, it's a great way to put it in the Bible. Perfecting of the saints. What is that? Training them to mature them. So one of the points we're here is to train and make sure they mature in Christ. You get that? So that means now when you're preaching, now when you're preaching, you can't just be hollering at people. That's right. Or giving a bunch of declarations without some understanding on how to do this. You know, you see church all the time and they say, you know, God's going to do something for you in so many days. And if you believe it, just go ahead and shout. And God is going to come through for you. And, you know, God has a plan. We get excited because it's exciting to know that God got a plan for you. I'm excited when I hear that God has something for me. God, yeah, but how? Because if I don't know how, I can't get there. You can tell me that you got a gift for me at your house all day long, but if you never tell me how to get there, then I'm giftless. I'll never be able to receive. And so now, a part of the perfecting, a part of the teaching them, a part of the training them to be the better saints, right? Watch this. A part of training to be better is you have to show them how. The Holy Ghost will not give you a revelation for somebody without telling you how to implement it in their lives. You get that? You can't teach someone without telling them how to do it. You know, you talk about faith, you talk about wealth, you talk about whatever you're talking about, there's got to be a how somewhere. Because it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for them to mature. It's not for them to just know a lot of stuff, but to actually mature. You get what I'm saying? Amen. Perfecting the saints. And for the work of the ministry. Now, what is the work of the ministry? Preaching the gospel of Christ. Come on, what's the work of ministry? Supporting the gospel, okay, all right. What's the work of ministry? All those are good. What's the work of ministry? Going out to all the world. What are we doing out there? Preaching. So we're preaching. That's what we're doing. We're going out in the world. Ain't no trick question. That's not I know everything. Okay, what are you trying to get to? What is the work of the ministry? We're going, huh? To show Christ's life. So now the work of the ministry. You know, we get caught up sometimes with work of the ministry. So we think, you know, it's the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? Or we think the work of the ministry is a lot of services where we're preaching. But the work of ministry is we got to get these people saved. That's right. That's the work of the ministry. So now this is what church is about too. We're maturing them. We're perfecting the saints, maturing them. Then we're showing them how to do the work of the ministry. They should be coming to when you minister the word of God or when they come to church service, they should get something to be able to take somewhere else. Get something to take out to the world to be able to show them the Jesus that we know. This is the work of the ministry. You get it? The work of the ministry. The last one is the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the body, the building up, the solidifying of the body, making the body strong. See, the body of Christ is slightly weak right now because there's no building up. There's a lot of patting on the back and a lot of entertainment and a lot of feel good, but it's not building up. I need something, you know, lifting weights, when they say people built, you know what I'm saying? Somebody built when they lift weights, right? You know, but you don't get like that until you done pushed a little iron. And you done broke a little sweat sometimes. And sometimes you're a little sore with it when you're finished, right? If you really, let anybody lift weights ever hard before, you lift weights real hard sometimes, yeah, you're a little sore after. And it takes effort. It takes a push. It takes you to do it. But if you do it enough, you get built up. It's building up the body of Christ to make them strong. All right? To make them strong, not to be weaklings. Not to be out here screaming Jesus but don't know it. All right? The building up, the edifying of the body of Christ. But it's important that you're edifying the body of Christ, and it says, till, verse 13, till, what the till mean? Until, all right, as they did, all right. I just want to see what y'all saying. I ain't talking about telegram. Till, you know, we say till I get there. You know, y'all know what you're talking about. Until we, how many? No, how many? Come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of who? What is he? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now when we're doing church, when we're having church, when we're being the church, it should come until we measure up to the stature of Christ. Until we come into the unity of the faith of the Son of God. Until we start to think and be and function like Jesus. Y'all see that? The whole point Jesus came out. Y'all heard me say this last week, and I said again, but Jesus' whole point was to reveal the Father. That was his main point. To reveal the Father, to reveal the Father's mind, to show the earth what God thought about. You know what I'm saying? When they gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments, they were good because they showed what God didn't want. You know what I'm saying? And that was, it's still a good thing. You still shouldn't kill. You still ain't supposed to commit adultery. You still ain't supposed to steal, all right? It's a good thing to have. But now Jesus came to reveal God's mindset about sin, how we can overcome it, have dominion over it, and be free from it. And not only for us to be free, but to administer freedom. All right? This is the word ministry. Comes from administration. When you administrate something, that means you pass out. So the work of passing it out, the work of the ministry, the work of passing it out. What am I passing out? The truth, the word of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, and measuring up to the stature of Christ. So now, I have to, what I'm learning should be building me up to measure up to what Christ was doing. Amen. Whenever I come to church, something should be building me up more to measure up to the stature of Christ. To do what he came to do. If he came solely to reveal the mind of God, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and in greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. That means there should be a greater revealing of God. Not because, when he said greater works, I always say this, and it's not that you can do a better quality of work than Jesus, because Jesus was it. I mean, he just was the one. I mean, I like the way he talked. I love the way he talked. The way I probably thought he was the coolest dude in the world. I feel like that, right? So he was it. When he did it, and the way he talked to him, man, like when he asked the Pharisees, and when I read the Bible like that. I don't be trying to read the Bible all deep, and I read it like that, and I'm like, man, Jesus sat there and told these people everything they need to hear, and they couldn't say nothing after that. I mean, just warm out. And I love that about him. And so, but now we're supposed to be doing the same thing he was doing. We're supposed to be revealing to the world who he is, or he should be revealing to the world who he is through us. Do y'all get that? So his sole purpose, if his sole purpose is to reveal God's mind on that, then that is our sole purpose. That is our sole purpose for being at church. It is not just to come and see your friends. Right? Or for a social gathering. When I leave church, like I left church yesterday, I should have been able to leave for Monday morning to be able to, I should have grown more to be able to deliver more. It's about awareness. When you hear the word of God, faith comes by. Faith comes by hearing, and what else? And hearing by the word of God. It just comes by hearing. So your faith actually comes. Faith for something comes by you hearing it. In other words, you become more aware of what it is. Like becoming more, when you come to church, you become more aware of who God is and aware of how Jesus would have done it. I'm aware of what God's mind is concerning whatever situation that comes up. I'm aware of it. So now my job, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. You're not going to do better quality of work, but it's more work because it's more of us. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well on the inside of you. And how many are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? It was only one Jesus here when Jesus came. It was only him. The disciples could have been trying to pick up whatever they wanted to, and bless the Lord for them. You know, but a lot of them missed it anyway. They didn't know what was going on. They was mad when he talking about he had to die. They didn't get it. Some of them didn't even catch a revelation of it. See what I'm saying? Yes, thank God we got hindsight. We can catch the revelation, all right? Amen. But now we can do greater work. So now you go where you're going. I don't go where none of y'all go during the day. Any of y'all go where I go during the day? No. But if you go where you're going, and I'm going where I'm going, and we're all revealing the Father and revealing God's mindset in our specific places, then it spreads. Now this is the work of the ministry. Now Jesus is being preached all over. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Until we measure to the stature of Christ, we should be doing. So why I got to go to church next week? Why I got to come in and go to church next Wednesday? Why I got to be preaching away? Why I'm in here in ministry school today? What are we doing? We're growing up, and we get to the point where we're all maturing and building up and coming into unity until we can spread this gospel to the whole world. Do y'all get what's going on? This is what church is for. I always ask this, and I don't like to do things just to be doing stuff. I never like to do things just to be doing it. I was one of the ones, I hate busy work. Don't give me no busy work. Don't give me something just to keep my hands moving. I need to have purpose. I need to get what's going on. All right. And when we the church unusual, that is the point. I mean, that to reveal the Father or to be like Jesus or to do the stuff that Jesus was doing, that is church unusual in itself. There's nothing normal about that. There's nothing usual or regular about that. Think about some of the miracles that Jesus did. We talked about that last week, remember? Go through them. Think about some of the stuff that he did. That is unusual. That's not normal. And we are supposed to be doing those things, and the people that we minister to are supposed to be able to do those things, and they should be learning how to grow up and to be able to do those things and administer that same type of power across the board wherever they are. But that's the point. Now it's how. So we're talking about how, right? We're talking about we got to show how. Oh, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. You know, all that goes together. All that's connected, all right? It's all government. Everybody say government. Government. It's all government. It's a line. Now it's imperative that you be linked up in government. It's imperative that you know what you know. As a minister of the gospel, somewhere you fall into one of those things. Somewhere you're in one of those, all right? But none of those work independent of each other. I remember this. Because if you don't have them together, you know what I'm saying? Or you don't have them in government, then something's going to go undone. I got you. Something is going to go undone, and something's going to come up missing. For instance, you may be a pastor, but if you ain't got no apostle, what you doing? Do y'all get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. It's imperative. You know, some things, I'll tell somebody this, some things have to be, some things can be taught, but some things got to be caught. Yes. See, the anointing is one of those things that got to be caught. You got to come in with your hands open, ready to receive it already. You see what I'm saying? I can tell you about the anointing. I can tell you about it. I could. I can read some scripture to you, and I can tell you about the anointing. You can actually see it, but in order to get it, you got to catch it. And your catching is imperative for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man in the measure of the stature of Christ. It's imperative for that. This is why government is important. This is why being locked in is important. This is why paying attention to the anointing is important, for because there's something bigger than just you. Yes. Are y'all with me for a second? Yes. Now, we're talking about church right now. I consider us, all of us, an important part of the church, because we're the ones that are in ministry school. We're in administering school. We're in the pass out school. All right. We're not considering to be, and no, everybody, every joint supply, but we're not just sitting in the pew. We're some of the ones that's going to be administering. All right. So we got to have something to give. That's right. And we've got to be connected to something bigger than us. Yes, sir. Do y'all get me? For the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now, if you don't become edified, you cannot edify another. If you don't allow yourself to be built up, you cannot build up another. It is very important. This is why it's important to be a student of the word. Listen to me. It's important to be a student of the word and to study that word day and night. It's important to do that so that you'll be able to administer that somewhere else. It's important to follow somebody that has an anointing. Yes, yes. And to be connected to them. I'm gonna keep saying it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. It all makes a difference. Your part is important. Later on, it's all talking about every joint supplies. It's talking about you. You know that, right? You know, an apostle ain't really got nothing to do if ain't no pastors and teachers. Listen to me. Every joint supplies. But you got to supply your joint. And you got to know what's going on. It even talks about, I'm going to get to this point in a minute, but it talks about the effectual working of every part. What does that mean? What does that mean? Effective. What does it mean to be effective? What does it mean? You're maximizing. All right, come on, I'm listening. Huh? Making a difference. All right, come on, I'm listening. Advancing. Okay. So the maximizing work. The making a difference work. Right? The advancing work. Y'all get that? The advancing work of every part. That means your part doing something to make the body advance. The effectual work. He did not say for the working of every part. He didn't say that. You never build your ministry on work alone. Come on, listen to me for a second. Never build your ministry, what God has you doing, on work alone. It's very easy to, I've seen a lot of churches like this, and then I've been like this before, and I've seen ministers like this, but you just got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of different things going on. Stuff everywhere. You got this going on. You got church every day of the week. You got service every day. You got something going on every day. It's a lot of work. And I've seen people do a lot of work, but the Bible talks about warding with your foot. And you're trying to do a lot, but you don't get nothing done. And so work. No. It says the effectual work. The effectual work. Not busy work, but the effectual work. Don't just be doing something just to be doing it, but be effective in your doing. Yeah. Right, to become an effective worker, you got to know what you're working. You got to know what you're doing. You got to have what it takes to be able to be an effective worker. So you cannot just build your ministry on work alone, just busy work, just doing a bunch of stuff, just up there rambling, up there talking, or just doing it just to be doing something. No, it's got to be effective. The effectual work. I'm going to read this. It says, "From the whole body fitted joined together, compact with every joint supplies, according to," y'all see on verse 16, "according to the effectual working in the measure of every part." Then it says, "make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So, but I can't see no increase until we got some effectual work. You tell me why the body of Christ isn't increasing. Why they not beating down the door? Why they not getting born again over and over and over again today? Because maybe it's not effectual work. What is effectual work, Montrell? I'm asking you, what is effectual work? When am I at my most effective? I was talking to my staff the other day, and I ministered to them for a minute, and I gave the scripture. It's effectual work. I keep saying it's effectual work. I don't want you to be doing something to be doing it. You know, you can be an ineffective witnesser. Now, there ain't no name more powerful than the name of Jesus. They said the name of Jesus, what's going to happen? Every knee shall bow and every tongue. Well, why when you say the name of Jesus, that knee didn't bow? Or that tongue didn't confess? Good question, ain't it? It ain't the name fault. Huh? But it's the effectual working. See, we're not called to be gunslingers. Bible gunslingers. You get a little word in your heart, now you're just slinging it everywhere. No. You gotta administer the word. Ministry. Huh? Ministry. I don't say throwing the word. You're not in throwing school, you're in ministry school. So when you administer something, I'm administering papers, and so I got papers on one. I'm wise enough to skip a chair because I know ain't nobody sitting right there. Right? All right. I didn't come up here and I'm supposed to give y'all papers. Just catch it, but you better catch it how you catch it. I'm administering, so and I'm paying attention. And I know, I'm administering. The ministry. It's not a gunslinger. Don't be a gunslinger. Don't be one of these gunslingers. You're not gonna take every invitation that come to you. Amen. You know, trying to start itinerant ministry. You're not gonna take every invitation. I did that junk when I first started. People calling and wanted to come sing and wanted to come preach. I was going everywhere. I was going everywhere they call. I was missing God left and right. Get up there, wasn't nothing happening. Grace of God kind of helped me a little bit, pat me on my back, say, "You're trying." You're not going to go up. You're not going to say, you're not going to just jump on every person that you see that you think need to be witnessed to. Amen. Come on, y'all. Come on. Yes, the effectual working. I'm going to get over on that part. I wouldn't get over that, but the effectual working. Being effective at your ministry. Your ministry being effective. Well, how do I make my ministry effective then? What is it that, is it knowing a lot of the scripture? That's a good thing. But that's not necessarily going to make you the most effective. The maximum effect. See, what makes us, and I always go back to this, and I cannot leave this, and we can never, ever leave this. As a minister, you never, ever leave this. But the ministry of the Holy Ghost is what makes you effective. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I get off of my mind, and I get on his mind, because clearly his mind better than mine. Clearly he knows, he knows way, y'all, I mean, this ain't even a sentence need to be said. Clearly he knows way more than I know. Put yours, my, his, yours, hers, all together, and we can add them all up, and we ain't got nothing compared to the mind of God. We ain't got nothing compared to the Holy Ghost, but we got him. Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send you a comforter. And he says, the name is the Holy Ghost, what are you going to do? What did he say he's going to do? It's not listen stuff. What did he say he's going to do? Show you things to come. He's going to teach you all things. Show you things that you do not know. Right? And then he's going to be a confident. But it's not talking about the Holy Ghost a lot about. Be a confident, be a helper. He revealed the deep things. Yeah, the deep things of God. He revealed the mystery to you, right? Right. That's when, in the mystery or in the deep things, is when you become effective. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Study your word. Read your word. But you've got to pray. That's why Paul said, I pray more than you all. And why the Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Praying always. Because when we get over there, that's when the anointing of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit is what make my ministry effective. See, you want an apostle? His ministry is effective because he prays. He's yielding on the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something else. Yielding and leaning. You write them down. Yielding to the Holy Ghost, and leaning on the Holy Ghost. One of the most powerful things you have in your life is your imperfection. It don't sound right, do it? It don't sound like that. It don't sound anointed, do it? One of the most powerful things you have in your life is the fact that you have imperfections. Because I read that scripture the other day and said, my strength is made perfect. Where? You ain't got to get weak because you already weak. Y'all hear me, huh? You ain't got to get, I know people took that, I heard some preachers, big time preachers. They took that one time and they was like, you know, God works in your insufficiency, you know? And it's true. It's a true statement. Don't get me wrong. Because he said his grace is sufficient. In our weeks, but that's his grace is sufficient. And I heard them, so they took it and they made a doctrine out of it. So now they saying you need to be insufficient. Like you need to get insufficient. You ain't got to get nothing that you already are. Listen, you can't talk good enough. I know I can't either. You can't talk good enough. Don't nobody praise good enough. Don't nobody sing good enough. We don't know enough scriptures. We don't pray. We just don't do it. There is no such thing as enough. We're always ever increasing, ever coming to the knowledge. We're always growing. See what I'm saying? But one of the greatest things you got is your imperfection. Now you ain't got to work. You ain't got to work for your imperfection. You just got it. You built that way. All right, but. I was getting over there, but in verse 2 it says, with all lowliness and meekness, a long suffering for bound one another, with all lowliness and meekness, with all lowliness and meekness, with all lowliness and meekness. This thing teach you how to work in the church, how to be in ministry, with all lowliness and meekness, with all lowliness and meekness. Understanding that you ain't nothing without God. Understand that you ain't nothing. You cannot be effective unless he makes you effective. All right, Montrell, what is that saying to me? It doesn't mean that you don't study. Doesn't mean that you don't read to try to get more knowledgeable of the word. Doesn't mean you don't push yourself to learn more like we here in ministry school right now, right? Right? This doesn't mean you don't do this, right? You do that, but still in the midst of all that, you're never gonna be flawless. And I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, you know, we were singing praise and worship, and I was singing, we worship. And they got what you call cracking. When you sing, sometimes you can crack. You ever heard somebody crack before? Y'all know what they're, when they, and y'all hear that, and it ain't really the right note, right? And it, sometimes you hear, you know, from a corner standpoint, you hear, be like, man, they messing up. I made a statement, and I was talking to one of the young guys in the band. I said, you know, sometimes those cracks are the place, and I was really talking about cracks like imperfections, really. I really wasn't talking about cracking singing, but the Lord showed me something while I was talking to him. But I said, sometimes the cracks are the spaces where he can enter in and do what he gonna do. Like a crack, because if you got it all smoothed over and you already got it done like you want to do it, there ain't no place for him to get in and make it extraordinary. Sometimes the cracks. I've seen people sing and they get up there and the Holy Spirit hit. In the midst of what it seems to be a mess up. You know, most people that God used mightily had issues. Y'all do know that, right? Yes. Y'all go down your list. Go down your list of your favorites. Go down it. Go down the list. Issue after issue. Issue after issue. Disobedient after disobedient, right? Struck the rock, post speak to it, right? Right? Post, wait till the Lord do it for y'all. You went and tried to make yourself made of Ishmael, right? 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 Come on, Father Abraham, right? 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 God was using them, although they had imperfections. But sometimes in their imperfection, it was a neediness there for God. It was an understanding that I needed him more than anything else. And that's when he is able to take you and use you. You know, the brokenness. So that's when God is able to really use you. When you got it all together on your own, you ain't trying to hear nothing. That's right. Y'all know that. You ever had I got it together moment? Yep. That's right. Me too. Well, I got it together. Or I got it going on. Right. Right. One of those moments. That's why they say pride coming right for the fall. Because that's the moment when you think you got all your steps are ordered by the Lord, but you think you got them already. You walk around like this, yes, that's when you hit the flow. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you ain't got to hit the flow, though. Listen to me, y'all. Listen. You ain't got to hit the flow. We ain't got to have a tumble. We don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that way. Understanding that, do you have imperfections? Do you have imperfections? Yes, sir. God, do you have them? Yes, sir. And you understand that, right? Yes, sir. So I ain't got to go get none. I ain't even got to get low to get my input. No, they dealt with you all the time. Even in the moment when you think you at your most anointed, you got imperfection. They're not going nowhere. We ain't got our perfect body yet. Other people be preaching stuff like, we're here. True, right? True. One of the greatest things you got is your push, study the word. Do your best to get better. But just remember that I'm totally relying on the ministry of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost doesn't minister to me, I can't minister to another. Because the power is in the Holy Ghost. The power is not in just what you decided to do. You know, it's not in your growl or you trying to push it so hard. No. The power is in the Holy Ghost touching. The letter itself, killing. But the Spirit gives life. This is the effectual working. The ministry of the Holy Ghost. Say it, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Come on, say it again, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Come on, say it again, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. This is where we become effective. This is where we become to the point where we can grow up to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Jesus said, what you see me do, I only do what my Father tell me to do. Me and my Father are one of it. What I'm doing, he told me to do it. I ain't got no agenda. I don't have nothing else but him. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. Come on, y'all, come on. That's why people that are, don't take me wrong. And sometimes if you get so educated, sometimes it's tough to get to that spot. Or sometimes you get to the point where you know so much stuff. It's hard to get that moment because you know a lot. Like, let's just say you do know a lot. Well, multiply that times a billion, and that's how much you don't know. So there's more about life that you don't know than you do know. But if I think I do know, then I'll never get to what I don't know. Does that make sense to y'all?
Yes, sir.
I can't even have access. The Holy Spirit can't even bring me over there because he's trying to get me off my high horse. Realize that one of the most important things that you have in your life is your imperfections.
Yes, sir.
All right? I had a preacher one time talking about and he said, well, and he had no stutter, but he said, maybe sometimes it's in the stutter, form of fashion. I'm serious to life about this. I saw this, and I looked at this man, and I said, what are you doing? And he thought the anointing was in the fact that he needed to start stuttering. Because somebody in the Bible had a stutter. I can't remember who it was. One of them had a stutter. Moses, think of Moses. Moses had a stutter. He said, I don't speak well. And Jeremiah said, I don't speak well. So he thinks he's not in speaking well. It's not about, pronounce your words, please. It's not about that. You see what I'm saying? We're looking for form of fashion. And we're trying to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen, you have imperfections regardless.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
But understand that in my weakness, he's strong. But along with that, you don't have to get weak because you already are weak. You ever had a weak moment before?
Yes.
Come on, y'all. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on. I, me too. But he said, listen to what he said. Let's go to the scripture real quick. I ain't got this in my notes. You know, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Well, let's start at verse 7. He said, lest I should be exalted above the measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the measure of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, read it. What? You got a good Bible, it's in red. Huh? What? When it's in red, who are they talking? Uh-huh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now listen to what he's saying. For my strength is made what?
Perfect.
In what?
Weakness.
Y'all hear what he's saying? He said, my strength is made perfect. Think about that word for a second. Perfect. Perfect in weakness. That means sometimes in those, we doing music in church, or when everything don't go all right all the time, and somebody hit a bad note, or you know, I'm okay with that, because I know that might be something going on to let me know that I ain't got it going on. And I need somebody else up there with me anyway. And that might be the opening for God to get in there and do something that I could not do on my own. That could be that opening for the Holy Spirit to come in and make it extraordinary, whereas I was ordinary on my own. It always happens, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost is important because it always happens this way. It always happens this way. Listen, it always happens this way. It should always happen this way. If it doesn't happen this way for you, then you need to go back and take another dip. Listen to me when you're ministering, all right? Listen to me. If you ever get to the point, I'm afraid, not the spirit of fear, not fear, like, oh my God, I'm petrified, but I'm nervous every time. Every time I come up here, every time I got to get up in front of anybody, it's almost a nervous to the point where I'm like, I don't really want to go. Y'all think I'm joking? Every time I come up here, I walk in the doors, my hands start sweating. I'm not nervous, Rick. I'm gonna be like, oh God, but I'm nervous. It's almost to the point where it's like, you know, he said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. He's over next. He said, if you're not gonna go up there with me, don't send me out there. I'm like, because I'm it's a nervous moment every time. I just think, well, man, I gotta grow out of this. You know, I gotta grow out of what time is it? Make sure I ain't open up. Oh, no, I'm not. A nervous moment. I'm nervous every time. And I just think, well, maybe I need to grow out of this. You need to get better and grow up. You need to calm down. I never calmed down. From the time I was 13, the first time I hit the stage to sing somewhere, crying my behind off because I was nervous. I was scared. Been scared ever since. Every time I got a minute. I don't care how much I studied. I don't care how many notes I got. There's a reverential fear, yeah, there, because I know that I'm not good enough. I don't know if I know what to say. I don't know if I know where to go. What if my mind go blank, Lord? Like what? Come on, that's what we think about the priest. What if I forget it all? I don't know what to do. There's a nervousness there all the time. Never fail. But it always starts off like that. And you start off with what you got. And Holy Ghost gave me a word a while back. He said, what you can do, do. He said, let me go back. He said, it's clear that I'm sitting there. He said, it was in prayer on Monday night. I don't remember. He said, what you can't do, you can't do it. Sound almost like a remedial statement, don't it? He said, what you can't do, you can't do it. Me and you both know you can't do it. He said, but what you can do, do that, and I'm going to do the rest. Wow. But put me to ease, because when he starts saying what you can't do, I'm like, Lord, that's everything. You know, that's all of it. I can't do none of it. You ever get to the point where your note's so good that you ain't got to ask the Holy Ghost to go before you? You need to go back and take another dip. You don't need to preach that night. You ever get to the point where you're so sure, you're so, Apostle made a statement yesterday in church, he said, afraid but unafraid. No, backwards. He said, unafraid but afraid. I said, that fits. It's almost a balance. It's like I'm not afraid because I know God is with me, but I'm still nervous because I know I ain't good enough. I know I'm not. I know I can't carry this thing. And right in that moment is when the Holy Ghost, remember this, don't ever get to the point where you're so, see, God elevate. The reason people can't be elevated in the things of God, people can't be elevated in general for that matter, is because Romans 12 talking about that no man should think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means he dealt it. It comes from him. So you said, and the problem comes in when you start getting anointed and things start happening that you start thinking that you got it. And even the nicest of us in here get to that point if we don't watch ourselves, if we don't adhere to the ministry of the Holy Ghost to remind us. See, I'm going to tell you something about apostles. I said this in my class. I talked to the leaders. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I talked to the leaders on Sunday. And I said, wow, what is this? Why is he working so hard? I'm an apostle. Why you study so hard? And I made a statement. I said he worked. You know, y'all know apostles. Apostles can go somewhere for 6 months and not be hurting for no money, right? He can go wherever he want to. Everything's taken care of. Y'all know him, right?
Yes, right.
He. I mean, y'all know how anointed he is. Y'all know all of it, right? Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But yet, when he works and he pushes for the things of God, he works like a poor man. Listen to what I'm saying. He work and study and push like he ain't got nothing. He said the word of God. He just celebrated 40 years. 40 years of ministry, but he studied the word like he just got saved yesterday. I'm constantly pushing. I'm never going to get there, Derek. You never there. Where's there? We don't know where there is. You can't get there, but you're pushing like you just learned about Jesus yesterday. Now, see, if you study the word and you push at it and you really rely on the ministry of the Holy Ghost, it'll take you back to that new experiences every day. It's almost like I got born again today. It's almost like I just got saved. I started reading about Jesus and I fell in love with him again all over the day. Because I'm pushing for that thing. I never become commonplace or familiar with what God is doing. I'm always expecting him to do something special and something different in my life. Not that. That's the only way you get here. Church unusual? That's when unusual starts happening. When you get to the point where, all right, stop being usual with God, and then you receive the unusual. Stop being so, you ought to act like he knew tomorrow. Huh? You ought to pray in the Holy Ghost like you ain't never prayed before. You ought to pray like you just got filled. You remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? Any of y'all remember? I remember. I was young, but I remember, boy. And I started praying. I said, Lord, I can't even stop right now. I couldn't even stop praying the Holy Ghost. And I felt the power and I felt what was going on. You ought to do that like it was yesterday that you got filled. You ought to be living like you got saved yesterday and I'm going after this thing. That same fire. You remember that fire? You can't lose that fire. That fire is in the Holy Ghost. It's always there, but you got to rely on it. Y'all get that? To press. I don't know. Tonight was, you got to press. You got to press. You got to press and you got to push for that thing. You got to press and you got to push for it. You don't just you don't just stumble in the unusual. You're knocking, you're seeking, you're asking. You're pushing for that thing. You're seeking after that. I'm looking for what you're doing. I know, and this is how you really want God to do something? God, listen, this is worship. Look, you everything. You everything, I ain't got nothing. You realize, I don't care what you get, I don't care what title you gave me. You give me a reverend, prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever it is, whatever, your holiness, whatever you want to say, I ain't got nothing. If you assume that position with God and keep that position with God, that's when he'll use your mightiest.
Yes, sir.
Learn the whole Bible. Yeah, you can do it. Learn the whole Bible. Learn it by heart. Memorize the Bible by heart. But don't get to the point where you think you know it. Because that's when God uses you. Amen?
Yes, sir.